You can open up your word to Matthew, Matthew 9, and then you can, what we're going to do is, it's in Matthew 9 verse. Seventeen, and then keep your finger in Luke 5, and we're going to read from 36, verse 36, 37, sorry, it's 37, 38, and 39. The theme for this morning is nios and kainos. Now, very interesting two words that we find in the New Testament, and especially with where we have been and when we, where we as a church, where we are on our way to. 2 weeks ago, when I preached, we spoke about Delilah and Samson and the world being Delilah and Samson being the Christian or being the church, and that we need to be careful of what we do, that we shouldn't be dabbling in and out the world, because sooner or later your eyes will be gouged out, and that meaning that you will lose the sight of truth and you will not be able to discern what is good and evil. And you will also be bound by fetters around your ankles, and therefore you will be pushing a millstone, a grinding stone, in circles. And this is where we find ourselves. And of course, what we said is that there's a great, huge responsibility upon the Christian to keep himself separate from the world. Why? Because you and me, we have been called for a specific purpose. And what is this purpose? It's to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's to cast out demons, and it's to lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. That is your job. It is to go and make converts, to be Christ, to be the aroma of Jesus between them who are busy perishing and to those who are being saved. That is your work. Simple. If we are not about the Father's business, then we are in trouble. And I believe, not only within this church, but also within the movement of Shofar and also in other churches, that we are now being made aware, the time is short, that what we have been busy with was a whole lot of nonsense, and that God is refocusing the church to become more people-orientated again. People-orientated, not, are you thirsty? Let me give you a glass of water. Are you hungry, Mary? Let me give you a pizza, or let me give you... No, it's not that. It is within that hunger, it is within that thirst to bring the gospel of Christ, to speak to this person about Jesus Christ, and then feeding, and then giving, and then building that person up. But we have been called to first preach the gospel of Christ. Jesus taught a crowd for 3 days. 3 days. And on the third day, we heard just now what Yaku read. He looked at them and he had compassion. And then he said, "What do you have?" And then he multiplied it. Amen. So our focus is to be gospel orientated. And then out of that, we can start feeding and helping the people that we need to help. So, how does neos and kainos tie in together with all of this? Well, it's simple. God is taking us from an old season into a new season. And God is preparing us. God is speaking to us, and God is saying, "This is what I want in place. This is what I want in place. This is what I want in place." And is it scriptural? Absolutely, it is scriptural, because we see with Noah. We see God gave him a blueprint, and he said to him, "Noah, I need this and this and this in place. This needs to be this high and that wide, and you need to cut it exactly like this and this." Why? Because it was moving from an old into a new. As soon as that flood came, I think there was a lot of pain that Noah had to go through, because he looked at his brothers and sisters, at people that he knew being drowned. But why? Because of unrighteousness. You see, there was pain. If we look at Abraham, God comes to Abram and God takes him out of Mesopotamia or Babylon, and he takes him out of that area. Why? Because God knows that he has got something better for him. And the very first thing that God says to him, he says, Abram, will you follow me? And he goes, yes, God, I will. He says, great. What you need to do is get your family together, pull up all your tent pegs, get your sheep, your oxen, get all these things or your goats together, and then I'll tell you where to go. So in any case, he does all these things, and then God brings him up to the edge of the desert. And he says, go. Now many of us, I think, if we had to stand in front of that desert going, that stone, it's hot, I don't even see a tree, there's a lot of dust. And when you look back at the lushness and the greenness and the life that you're going to leave behind, you know, a lot of us will not move. A lot of us will not move. And this is exactly where we are standing. A lot of us we'll sit in a place where God is saying, be ready, because the shift is going to come, and I've prepared you for the shift, trust me. And a lot of us will say, yes, Lord, I will go, and the rest will say, hang on, this is a bit too much. I just want to sit down. I just want to rest. You know what, there's so much change. But let's have a look at Israel. When God saved Israel out of where? Out of Egypt. Where did he take them into? He took them into a desert. After when? After Sinai, as we heard. After he went into covenant with them. Then God was their God, and they were his people. So he takes them into this desert. And what happens? Cold, warm. Clue. In the evening there was a cloud of fire. And what was it during the day? A cloud. Exactly. So what did the cloud? What was the function of the cloud? To keep them cool during the day. Have you ever been in the desert? It's hot. And if there is absolutely no shade, you're not going to look white. That I promise you. You're going to be red and pink. Ask me, I know. The sun here in Cape Town, I'm a lobster. I go pink. I never go brown. I first need to go through like four anals like that with blisters and stuff, and then I go golden brown. And that's only for 3 days, and then I look great, and then I'm back to pink again. But it's all okay. But what do? Is we see that the cloud was there during the day. For what? For the purpose for protection. At night, the cloud or the pillar of fire was there for protection or for heat. Now, we need to understand that every time when God knew that he wanted to take his people from here, point A to point Z, for a specific purpose. And what was that purpose? It was a covenant that he made with whom? With Abraham. And we see that covenant being renewed, if you want to say, or confirmed again to Isaac, and then to Jacob. And what was this covenant? Is that I will take you into a land that you will one day own, and this will be a land that will flow with milk and honey. You will have your freedom. That is it. So as the Israelites then start walking from point A to point B, they get this great cloud during the evening and this great cloud during the day. And God says to them, when you see these clouds or this column move, then you move with it. And God did this for a purpose. Why? Because he knew he had to get them from A to Z. And once that cloud moved, if John and or if Jacob and if Isaac and if Deborah and if Moses and all these guys, if they had to stay there for a while, once the cloud started moving, irrespective if it was during the day or during the night they would freeze to death. And during the day, they will burn to death. So they had to keep up with it, so that they would reach their end destination. And that end destination had far greater things in for who? For them. And this is exactly where we find ourselves when God looks at you and me, as God has called us for a purpose, and as we are carriers of God's Spirit, we understand that God is moving us as a church, but also as individuals from one place to the next. And when He starts moving us as a church, or when He starts moving us as individuals, sometimes it's tough. Because trust me, the Israelites didn't have a five-star Holiday Inn or Protea or what do you call all these other motels? City lodges and stuff like that. That was hard stuff. That was tough. That was rough. You've still got that blistering heat. You've still got these desert storms. You've still got the cold during the night. And even then, there was no running water. There was absolutely nothing. But God provided. Yet it was rough and tough. God provided. Why? Because they were continually on their knees. But we also see that they complained, that they always looked back and said, "Ah, the meat pots of Egypt was always better." And this is exactly where we find ourselves. And we need to understand, when God starts moving, when seasons start changing, when God starts preparing, and when God starts commanding, instructing, get this in place, that in place, and we get it all in place, and we say, yeah, here we go. And then as soon as we get that first week, second week, third month, fourth month, and then we start saying, oh my word, certain things are tough and rough, and how, what now? I'm sure I must have heard the devil, because this can't be God. And that's a lie. That's a lie. Because when God moves it from A to B, He's gonna squeeze out all the gunk out of us. So that the day when we reached our promised land, what happens? Is that we will be holy and righteous. That we will be ambassadors of Christ. Why? So that we can portray Him to the nations and to people. Amen. All right. There's a little story which I never knew about a lobster. Now, if you, and please go and read this, because this is very interesting. A lobster in his growth, when we eat that big thing like this, we don't actually understand the hardship that this poor thing has gone through. Yeah, hard shell, hardship. You know, when he's that small, as soon as he starts building a little shell for himself, do you know that every year, within the cycle of his lifetime, he needs to leave that shell. He needs to leave the security, the comfort of that little shell that keeps him safe against fish and coral and currents. And he needs to leave that little thing out. And then he walks into this blue ocean without his shell and without his covering and without his shield. And then he needs to go and grow a new one. And once it's grown, then he's okay again. And then he's safe. And then in the next year, when he's a little bit bigger and he looks more juicier for the greater big fish or for the diver that goes down there, then he needs to leave it again. And this is a continual process until we see it that big. But what am I saying? I'm saying this, even yet, when he leaves that old shell, he is preparing himself for a bigger, better shell than before. Why? Because he's growing. He's growing. He's not stagnating. He's becoming bigger. And therefore, he needs a better protection device, mechanism, if you want to call it that. So how does this all slot in with neos and with kainos? Well, in the New Testament, okay, can we go to the next one? In Matthew 9:17, it says, "Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins." So I'm not saying that you are lobsters. I said, I'm a lobster when the sun beats down on me. "Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved." So let's have a look when we look at wording. This is one thing. What makes the Bible so interesting is when we look at the words that God uses. "Nor do they put new." Highlight the word new. New wine. highlight the word wine. Into old wineskins, highlight the word old. Or else the wineskin breaks. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new, highlight the word new, wine into new wineskins. Again, highlight those two words. And both are preserved. And then highlight the words, both are preserved. Next slide, please. Wow. It's had too much wine. Luke 5, verse 37 to 39 says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better." So what do we see? We see that the writer here is playing with new quite a bit. The word new. And then we see wineskins. And then we see preserving both of them. Not only the wine, but also the wineskin. And we see multiple times that the word wine is also used. So what is the writer trying to convey? Yes, it's speaking about salvation. The wineskin is you. The wine is the Spirit of God. It's all metaphorically. So what do we see is that this portion of Scripture speaks about you in your previous state, BC, before Christ. And then it also starts speaking about your state after Christ. Can you see that? So the new wine, or the old wine, is comfortable in the old wineskin. But then when the Spirit of God comes in, the old wineskin needs to change. Now when you read this in the Greek, you will also see that when it says puts new wine into, you will see that this tense is also in the present continuous tense, how it's written. So it's a continual filling. That's what it's saying. There is a continual filling happening here. And this is where those two words become very interesting. Neos and kainos. Next slide. So what do we see? Okay, let's get just quickly. Okay, lobster growth. God is continually preparing us for more wine, for another dose of pouring out of His Spirit. Like I just said, it's a continual presence tense. It's a continual pouring. And these changes may not always be fun, but they are always good. All right, next one. So let's do a word study. Look at the word new. And there's always a shifting from the old into the new. All right, the New Testament. Two words translated new in Greek as neos and kainos, and yet both of them have different meanings. Hear me. That when you see new wine and new wineskin, the new wine is a neos. In the Greek, it is neos. And when you see new wineskin, it is kainos. Hey, it's easy, very simple. But yet those two words mean new, but they are different in meaning. And this is important for us to understand this. Very important. Okay, next slide. Neos. What does the word neos mean? The word neos means numerically new, but not different. So there might be a huge quantity of something, but that quantity of stuff is not different. The example that I have here is a Isuzu model 2014. Numerically, there were a lot of them made. In getalsgewys was daar baie gemaak. But they are the same. When you climb into an Isuzu a 2014 model, you will see that they are all the same. There's absolutely nothing different. So neos, numerically the same, but not different. Do you understand that? Hello? Do you understand it? Good. Kainos means this. Numerical new. In quantity, it is the same. But also, qualitatively, it's new. What does this mean? This is what it means. If you take a model of an Isuzu model of 2014 and you compare it to a model of 1975, is it a car? Is it a car? Absolutely. Is it the same car? Does it look the same? Or is it different to appearance, to quality, etc.? What's the difference? Different quality, different new look. Yes, that's it. It's got power steering and it's got all the wheels and what's it, bells and whistles. So when you look at a 1974 Isuzu, you will say, wow, that looks like a box. But when you look at a 2014 model Isuzu, you will say, this thing is aerodynamic, I want one. Do you understand it? So it's numerically. It looks the same. Quantitative, it's the same. But the look is different. All right. Do you understand this? Because it's important that you understand this before we go back into Scripture. Neos and kainos. So what does neos mean? Neos means numerically the same. Quantity-wise, of the same model. But there's no difference. All right? But kainos means numerically it's the same. There's a lot of cars, but the quality of the car is different. And how do we compare this to a 2014 model to a 1975 model? They both cars, but there's a huge difference. A bodywork, an engine overall, inside leather, electric windows, power steering, and all this stuff. Do you understand that? Awesome. Next one. If we go in, all right, let's first start there. Stop there. Let's quickly go into the Bible. If you, Yaku, if you can get back to Matthew 9. Now let's have a look. In Matthew 9:17, it says this. It says, "Nor do they put new wineskins into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved." So let's just start putting those words, neos and kainos, into it. Nor do they put what? Neos wine. What is neos wine? It is the same wine. The same wine. It doesn't change. You're not hearing it. Who is the wine? So the Spirit of God is neos wine. It's the neos Spirit. God never changes. It's the same Spirit that will infill you day in and day out. For Jesus, the Spirit of God never changes. He is the same yesterday, the same today, and forevermore. Neos. So it is the same Spirit that will keep on filling you with the same goodness of God. Nor do they put neos wine into old wineskins, you and me. Or else the wineskin breaks. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. What is interesting, when you go and do a search on how, if you can call it the ancient people, if you can call it the Israelites, how they preserved and how they made wine, you know that it wasn't a wine press, and they pressed it and then it was poured out, and then it went through a couple of, like, I don't want to call it cleansing things, but they went, it, 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 It was pressed, it was poured out into all sorts of jars, then it was poured out into a clay jar, and right after that was taken a little goat, or a goat was killed, and then where the paw, or not the paws, where the legs were, it was closed up, and they would pour it into the, where the neck was, and they will fill it up, and then they'll close it, and then basically what will happen is they will leave it in there, and this wineskin, this little goat skin, would then start, will then start expanding. Why? Because the wine inside it ferments. And what would happen is it will only stretch unto a certain size. Only unto a certain size. And then they'll take that wineskin and they'll pour out the wine, and that wineskin has had it. You cannot then pour new wine into it. Because if you had to pour more wine into it, remember, the size is bigger. So therefore, when you throw more wine into it, the fermentation will be greater and larger. So therefore, that wineskin can't stretch no more. So what will happen to it? It will tear, and all the wine will be spilt. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit and what the writer is saying to you and me with regards to this wineskin that we have. We have been filled up with so much nonsense that when the Spirit of God comes in, our wineskins need to change. Why? Because God is moving us from point A to point B to point C to point D. God is ever growing us. We cannot stagnate. We need to grow and grow and grow and grow. And that is why the tense within this scripture is in the present continuous tense. Now it's making us understand that we need to grow. I get excited. Sorry. I get excited, because if you understand this, it is so, God blows our minds. So let's go. So what do we see? All right. Where are we? Or else the wineskins break, the wine spills, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine. So that wine is what? New is? Nios. So they put Nios wine into new wineskins. So what is a new wineskin? What will that Greek word be? Kainos. That's correct. And what is kainos? Numerically the same. Dale, stand up. Karin, stand up. Cherie, stand up. Are they people? They model cars, eh? They're all the same. But guess what? They are all different. They're humans, but they're all different. That is what kainos means. They are numerically the same, but quality-wise, they're completely different. Thank you. Do you understand this? So hear this now. Now we need to take this into consideration. Old wineskins, new wine. New wine, new wineskins. If God wants us to enlarge, if God wants us to become greater and bigger, and I'm not talking about the greater and bigger in finances and money and what all this. I'm saying, if Helmut wants to know more about God, he needs to have a kainos wineskin. And this kainos wineskin that Helmut will have will be a ever-expanding wineskin. You see, because this tense, or this portion of Scripture, has been written in the present continuous. So therefore, the Spirit of God will come, and He will take Helmut from one place, like the little lobster. He will take him from a small shell to a bigger shell, to a bigger shell, to a bigger shell. Can you see the expansion taking place? And this is exactly what happens in our spiritual lives. How God wants to expand us. You see, God cannot be confined into a small little shell, into a small little wineskin. He can't. Because when he pours his spirit into this wineskin ferments, not really, metaphorically, this wineskin ferments and it blows up to a certain area. Now God says, Helmut, there's so much more to me that you yet do not know. I want to show you more of me. Are you willing? And Helmut goes, yes, I want to. And then God starts putting a refining fire under him, and God starts getting rid of a lot of stuff to make place for his new wine, for the Spirit. Now you need to understand, if Helmut's wineskin was blown up to the certain size, and he said to God, God, I want more of you, but I'm not willing to expand, what would happen? That wineskin will burst and it will be like poles thrown to the pigs. That's exactly what it is. But if he says, yes, God, I want more of you, and I will go whatever it takes, expand me, and then the hardships and the trials come. But guess what? There's new wine being thrown into this wineskin. It is more than before. And this wineskin needs to do what? It needs to extend. It needs to become bigger until the wineskin is this size. And then God says, okay, great. And then God leaves you there. And God will come back to Helmut when he's this big, and when he's received the fullness and the glory, and he's seen things and he's heard things and he's prayed. And God says, Helmut, do you want more? And he says, yes, God. What happens? The Kainos wineskin needs to expand. Why? Because God wants to pour more of him into you and into me. But stretching new times, new seasons, stretches us. And sometimes it will stretch us into uncomfortable areas of our lives. We will say no and we will say yes, but let me put it to you this way. It will always be for your good and for your benefit and for my good and for my benefit. Why? Because God wants to use us as his hands and as his feet. God wants to make you and me more and more through the Spirit, transform us more and more to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. What do we need to do? We need to embrace it. We need to embrace kainos. We need to embrace it. Next one. Go. Go. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what creation? What do you think? What is that new? Is that neos or is that kainos? That's no. It's not numerically the same. Listen to what it's saying. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, I make all things new. Can you see that model 1975 has gone through a total revamp? It's a new engine, it's a new exhaust pipe, it's new sound, it's dropped its suspension, and when it comes in, you know it is new. Behold, I make kainos, I make all things new. Numerically, people, you are the same, but if the living God makes his presence within your heart and within your life, he changes you. And this is what it says. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are not just duplications or replicas of something else, neos. We are new in the sense of being different. You and me, we are different. We are different to the world. Jesus has come and he has given and he has deposited his Spirit within each and every one of us. Therefore, as Christ is moving us from one season to the next, are we prepared? Are we prepared to go through some stretching times? Are we prepared to lay down our lives to see His kingdom come and His will to be done? And that will only happen through you and through me if we allow this wineskin, our lives, to be continually stretched for His sake, so that He can pour new wine into us. New wine continually being poured. And that we will not halt the work of God in our lives, but that we will say, Jesus, here we are. You've brought us so far. You haven't left us. You haven't forsaken us. We are called by Your name for a specific purpose. Do with me, do with us what is needed for the furtherance and the extension of Your kingdom. Amen. 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 Can we pray? Can we stand? Father, we want to say thank You for a wonderful morning, Lord, of worship. Father, we want to say thank You for a wonderful time, Lord God, of where we could come before You and pray for our brothers and our sisters. Father, we want to say thank You that You have opened up the Word through Your Spirit unto us. And Lord, that You have given us more understanding and revelation of, Lord, of how intrigued Your Word is. Lord, that You play specifically with words. Lord, on how to bring a point across. And Father, as we stand as individuals and as we stand as Your church this morning, Father, do we say to You, we don't want Neos. We don't want a Neos wineskin. But God, we want a Kainos wineskin. Father, as You are putting certain things in place, and Lord, as You are bringing us to attention, because we want to be part of seeing Your kingdom come and Your will to be done, Father, You look down upon us and You say to us, you need more of this and more of this and more of this. But before I do this, before I can give You more of me, You need to be prepared to be stretched. You need to be prepared to receive more of me. And God, we stand before You this morning and we say, Lord, we gladly surrender to You. We gladly surrender to You, Lord. Come and stretch us. Come and change us. Let us not restrict the outpouring of Your Spirit into our lives for the greater good of Your kingdom. But we want more of You. We want more of You. We want more of You. Father, and this is not a cry where we look inwardly. This is not a selfish cry, God. But Father, that is a cry, Lord, that we understand that we need more of You to be Your hands and Your feet out there. Father, we want to say thank You that You have been faithful to us, that You have spoken to us so clearly and giving us so much direction. Father, I ask You that each and every one of us, Lord, in this congregation and shofar and in the world, Father, that we will hold on to this, what You are saying, Lord, and that we will make necessary changes within our lives. And that we will allow the Spirit of God to come and do what He needs to do. We repent. We repent, Lord God, of trying to do the things out of our own strength. We repent of not laying down our lives for you. We repent, Lord God, of not allowing the Spirit of God to do in our lives what He needs to do. But as a church this morning, do we say to you, Father in heaven, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in us and through us, to the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Friends, I want to extend the invitation before we go. I'm not a big person, or I'm not a person that does altar calls and things. What I say is this: if this is spoken to you, if the word has circumcised your heart this morning, then I want you to come for prayer. Because if you want more, if you feel that you have not allowed the Spirit to move and you want a kainos wineskin, it is important that you are not left behind, so that when God moves, that you are full of Him. And if you feel that you haven't allowed the Spirit of God to do that, we would love to pray with you this morning. Really, we would love to pray with you. And if you do not know yet Christ, if you don't know Jesus, we would love to pray with you. We would love to speak to you about Him. And if there are a few of you who feel that, man, that you know, Christians do backslide. They do. And if you feel that you are backslidden, we want to pray with you. We want to stand with you, because God wants to restore you. God wants to restore you. So, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may you experience His peace in this week. Shalom, the peace of God do I give to you. Have a wonderful week. We bless you and we love you. There's tea, there's coffee. And for those who need prayer, please do come forward. Have a wonderful week and a wonderful afternoon. Bye-bye. Bless the